Hello, everyone. This is James Dobson with Family Talk. For parents today, there's no more important job than building a lasting legacy for their children and grandchildren based on God-designed principles for strong families. 35 years ago, San Antonio hosted our first film series called Focus on the Family. It was eventually seen by 80 million people around the world. Now join me as I return to San Antonio for a special one-day event featuring a fresh look at these timeless biblical principles for raising boys and girls in today's challenging culture. Building a Family Legacy takes place Saturday, January 19th at San Antonio's Cornerstone Church. Doors open for this free event at 8 a.m. and tickets while they last are required. Learn more and reserve your seats now at buildingafamilylegacy.com.
Well, thanks so much for stopping by for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane.
And I'm Ryan Dobson, and our host is psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson, or as my son Lincoln calls him, Jimpa.
I do love that title, Ryan. You know, now that you are a dad to two little ones, Lincoln and Lucy, I imagine you and Laura are already very intent on imparting your biblical worldview to your kids with your parenting.
Well, Luann, there is no greater purpose in my life than to pass on that spiritual baton to Lincoln and Lucy. And that's been passed down to me by my dad and by his fathers before him. A few weeks ago, my dad mentioned on a program that I read Psalm 91 with Lincoln every night. And just a couple of days ago, to my amazement, I started quoting it to him. I've been trying to memorize it.
Hey.
I'm not very good at that. But I quoted the first couple of verses. He recited virtually the entire thing to me at six.
Goodness.
And I just thought, that'll be with you for the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
That was one of the greatest things I think I've done as a parent. I look at that and I go, okay.
Wow.
You know, I'm doing my job here.
Goodness.
And unfortunately, that's not happening in a lot of families today. Only 9% of Americans' beliefs would match what we consider to be a biblical worldview.
Pretty sobering, but you're citing a well-known Barna Group study, which also showed that less than half of those who claim to be born-again Christians actually have a worldview that lines up with Scripture.
Ugh.
That's pretty frightening, and we all want to make sure that our children fall into the minority that says boldly, the way I view the world and live my life matches the Holy Scriptures.
And that's a major calling for us here at Family Talk, and that's to help parents learn how to instill their faith into their children.
Mm.
And towards the end today, we're going to hear a conversation my dad had with the late and the great Dr. Adrian Rogers.
What an amazing man of God, Ryan, and
goodness.
A dear friend to your father.
Mm-hmm.
Before Dr. Rogers' passing in 2005, he was a beloved minister of the gospel for over five decades and the founder of Love Worth Finding Radio and Television Ministries. He also served three terms as president of the Southern Baptist Convention.
He was survived by his wife, Joyce, and she's been a guest here on Family Talk before. We were also joined once before by his granddaughter, Angie Luce.
Yes.
Her testimony about how the Lord brought her family through an intense time of grief showed firsthand the legacy of faith that he has left for his family.
We can all learn from him, Ryan. Dr. Rogers also penned 18 books in his lifetime. The one we're going to be hearing about today is all about incorporating God's holy word and his commands into our family life. So let's get right to that now with our host, Dr. James Dobson, as he asks our guest more about his book on this Family Talk broadcast.
We're going to talk today about the topic of your book, 10 Secrets for a Successful Family, that is kind of organized around the Ten Commandments. You believe, I know with a passion, that the Scripture is relevant to every moment of every waking hour in our lives, and that the guide for family living can be found right in those passages.
I really do believe that, Jim, and I think that so much of the problem that we're having in America is because we have lost that consensus in America. You know, there used to be a time when preachers would stand up in the pulpit and they would say, "The Bible says." Then they started saying, "The church says," and now they just kind of scratch their head and say, "Well, it seems to me."
What they say is, "I want to share something with you."
Right. I
wish
share.
Somebody would get up and preach to me, you
right.
know?
I think there's very little in America that could not be set right quickly, radically and dramatically, if we had a generation of preachers today who would open the Word of God, analyze it, organize it, illustrate it, preach it, and apply it.
And say, thus saith the Lord.
Thus saith the Lord. And that's the reason. I was reading the Ten Commandments, and it just dawned on me, and this book is about the Ten Commandments, that God gave the Ten Commandments to the family. He didn't give them to industry. He didn't give them to government. He didn't give them to education. He gave them to the family. And it's the family that's to change industry, to change education, to change government. But the basic unit, that core unit, is the family. And the basis of this whole thing is God's Ten Commandments. You know, he gave the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. And then he restates them in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 6, he says, now, fathers, teach these to your children and to your grandchildren. And he says, if you will do that, two things will happen. Number one, your family will thrive. And number two, the nation will survive. And so God says this is the basis for society.
You make the point in this book that we complain about the Supreme Court denying the state of Kentucky the right to put the Ten Commandments on the walls or the bulletin boards of the school. But many of us who complain about that don't have them on our bulletin boards at home either.
Absolutely.
And we haven't taught those same Ten Commandments.
Yeah. And we grouse and complain about the fact that children can't pray in school. Well, how many parents are praying with the children before they go to school? I believe a free-born American ought to be able to pray vocally anywhere, anytime he or she wishes, whether it's in school or any other time, as long as they're not upsetting decorum. And I believe that these Ten Commandments ought not to be censored. And like any other document, if it's relevant, could be made known. But on the other hand, so many parents don't have these commandments. They ought to be in every child's bedroom.
How many years have you been preaching?
I've been preaching 45 years.
Have you seen a change in the attitude of the people you preach to toward the applicability of Scripture, the relevance of Scripture, the authenticity of Scripture, and the believability of Scripture?
Yes, I have, but no, I have not. Now, let me explain what I'm talking about. I am fairly well known, I guess, for being pretty much hewing to the line of the Word of God, because my whole life is built on that. So the people that come to our church and the people that we're around, they believe and say, yea, verily, when we're preaching the Word of God. But I have found in society in general that that is true, that people just say, well, you know, you interpret the Scriptures differently than I do. Or they say one thing that really fractures me. What's true for you may not be true for me. And I say, well, good night. If it's true, it's true. If it's not, it's not.
70% of the people in the United States, and even more in Canada, say that they do not believe in absolute truth, which means that there is nothing in that entire book that is true for all time in all circumstances.
Right.
That's a scary thing. That takes in the authenticity of Jesus, the existence of God, you know, the validity of the Scriptures. Isn't that amazing? 70%, and a lot of those people have to call themselves Christians because of the percentage of people in this country who do so.
You know, sometimes you get in Bible studies, and that people will get around in a circle, and they'll call it a Bible study, but what they're really doing is pooling their ignorance. And they will they will read a verse of Scripture, and they say, well, what does that mean to you? What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you? And then the teacher puts a big smile on his or her face and says, isn't it wonderful that the Bible can mean so many different things to so many different people? Now, let me just put this caveat there. I think they may mean, isn't it wonderful that it can apply in so many different ways? But it only means what it means. It means nothing less, nothing more. It means what it means. It has one meaning and 10,000 applications. But it has only one meaning, exactly what God meant for it to mean. And we've just gotten away from, this the absolute truth of God's Word.
All right. Now, the Ten Commandments are stated in a pretty definite way. I mean, they begin with thou shalt or thou shalt not. I mean, they aren't 10 suggestions. Do you really think the Scripture means that? Do you really think when it says thou shalt do this or thou shalt not, is that what God meant?
Yeah, but he's not up there making a lot of laws to make us squirm like a worm in hot ashes trying to keep them. Every time God says thou shalt not, he just says don't hurt yourself. And every time God says, thou shalt, he's saying, help yourself to happiness. See, God is God. He doesn't need anything. I mean, well, God's not making laws for his welfare. He has his welfare. He is God, but he loves us. And when the manufacturer is given a book of instructions to make this thing run right, and he loves us. And so the Bible says his commandments are not grievous. And these so many people look at the commandments as something negative. You and I were having dinner one night, and you said something to me that I quoted in that book. Well, if you can find it in there, I don't know what page it's on, but you told me, you said, you know, Adrian, in all of life, there's a positive and a negative. And you said it's kind of like an automobile battery. I don't know if you remember telling me this.
I do.
You know, there's a positive pole and a negative pole. You said you get hold of the positive pole alone, nothing really much happens. You get the negative pole alone, nothing much happens. But hook them together and they'll curl your hair. You remember saying that?
I do. We were in Hawaii when I said that to you.
And I said, boy, that's great. That's going in my book. but that is so true. You cannot have a positive without a negative, and you can't have a negative without a positive. But the negatives are positive.
That's right.
Every negative is positive. If I say to you, don't go outside, that means stay inside. Mm-hmm. And so there cannot be a positive without a negative. And all of God's laws are for our welfare. God loves us, and people just don't trust God.
I was speaking in Washington, D.C. not too long ago, and there was a question and answer session, and somebody asked me if I believed in positive thinking. And I said, I sure do. I also believe in negative thinking. I believe in any kind of thinking. You know, I like them both. There is a place for positive thinking. Yeah. There's also a place for negative thinking. Sure. You know, if I were to walk through a field and I knew there were four or five poisonous snakes in that field, I would think some negative thoughts.
Absolutely.
You know, I have to be careful here. It's a negative thought that makes me buy life insurance. I could die and leave my family. And so I better get life insurance. Mm-hmm. You know, thinking negatively has its place too. And
sure,
they do balance each other. And in fact, what I feel so strongly, and the discussion we had comes out of this, is you cannot understand Jesus' death and his free gift of salvation if you don't understand the negative of sin. Mm-hmm. You've got to understand sin and what it can do to the human mind and the body.
Absolutely.
And the culture. Or else Jesus' death doesn't mean anything. So that those positives and negatives balance.
Yes, that's right. Without the law and without this understanding that we are sinners, we would never see our need.
Yeah.
So the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But even when we come to Christ, that doesn't mean then we're finished with the law. Then the Bible says the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. And the Lord Jesus gives us the power. I would not for one moment want anybody to think that I thought that a person could behave themselves into heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments. They cannot. But on the other hand, we will never in our daily living go beyond the Ten Commandments as a guide for life and for raising kids. To teach kids right from wrong. I get so sick and tired of hearing about the right and the left, the Christian right and the left and all of this. I say, well, look, folks, it's not right or left. It's right or wrong.
That's right.
And there's God has spoken. There's only really one question. Did God make man or man make God? And from there on, you have a continental divide. And if God made man, then he's sovereign God, and he knows how things are supposed to work.
You know, looking at the clock, this is really going by in a big hurry. If you will stay with us, we'll do a second day on this subject, and we will get into the Ten Commandments and talk about their applicability to everyday life. But for what's left today, it really would be helpful for parents who are out there to make a little Bible study out of the Ten Commandments with their children, shouldn't it? And go through them one at a time, maybe one per night, and talk about what that means today. You know, how many children 10 years old can tell you what it means to covet?
Right.
Or some of the other...
some things a 10-year-old you might not want to discuss with.
the Seventh Commandment would be a little shaky on.
But you need to. You need to in this day and age with a 10-year-old. You really do. Yeah.
Mm. And how might they do it? Did you do that in your own family?
Yes. As a matter of fact, at the end of each of the chapters of this book, I have a little section called Turning the Commandments to Commitments, and how to take these commandments and teach them to children at various ages. How do you teach preschoolers the Ten Commandments? How do you teach a junior high school the Ten Commandments? How about high school? How about from that age up? How do you take each of these commandments and make it apply at that stage of life?
Such practical advice here on this Family Talk broadcast with our guest, the late Dr. Adrian Rogers. If you can't be with us for the rest of our program today, you can catch it or find Dr. Rogers' book at drjamesdobson.org. We're going to pick up the conversation now as Dr. Rogers talks to those of us who have a little trouble getting together a Bible study for our family. Here he is now on this Family Talk broadcast as he describes the outline the Lord provided to all of us, and especially dads, right in His Word.
And that's exactly what God said to these fathers. He said in Deuteronomy 6, He said, all right, now dads, teach these things to your kids, teach them to your grandkids. And then He said this, and you shall talk of them when you rise up, when you lie down, when you go out, when you go in. He said they'd be like frontlets between your eyes. That means what you think. There'll be a sign upon your hand, what you do.
And the doorpost,
what you see. So when you've got what you think, what you see, what you do, all of that's just infused with the Word of God. And, you know, so many people are having family worship, and we have it in our family. I mean, it's so much sweeter now that the kids are gone. But, you know, we love family worship, but it was so difficult. It's, you know, it's kind of like you sit still while I instill, you know, a dose a day keeps the devil away. And we did that, but it was so hard, but we did it. But, oh, I learned that the best family worship is made when you're watching television. You say, son, what did God think about that? Mm-hmm. What commandment did that guy just blow? And, you know, that's the teaching opportunity. That's so real. You talk about these things when you go in and when you come out. And that's where the fun of teaching kids comes from.
It should be part of everyday living.
Right.
Not just at bedtime.
Absolutely. When our kids were little, I used to get so aggravated at the beer commercials. I'd get up, we'd turn them off, but we didn't have one of the flickers. You know, I had to run across the room and turn off it and so forth. And then we wrestle with all of this. All right, can we constantly, every time there's a bad word on television, turn it off, turn it on? And it's gone by the time you get there. Mm. And so then you think, well, man, I'm just going to get the thing out of my house. And so, no, that's not right. And you try to figure it out. But what I've learned is this, that David cut Goliath's head off with Goliath's sword. And so when something bad comes on, you just turn it on his head. And that is a wonderful opportunity to teach. You know, say if somebody uses a bad word. I'm not saying you ought to watch movies that cram with bad words or whatever. But if something slips in, as Hollywood is wont to do, a son, what did God think about that? Yeah. You know, was that necessary? That was, what was that? He said, Dad, that's taking God's name in vain, wasn't it? It surely was. And here, look at that. That's covetousness, isn't it? It really is.
And children expect you at that moment to react or to turn it off. They're watching you
right.
A lot more than you think they are.
They really are. And there are times when you do need to turn it off. I mean, quick. But there are other times when you have a teaching moment, and even if a thing is negative, you can take Goliath's sword and whack off his head with it and say, hey, okay, you meant to hurt me with this. I'm going to hurt you with it. I'm going to show just how foolish and how ridiculous that is as we hold it up to the plumb line of God's Word.
Yeah. I love that scripture in the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy, which says to just make it totally a part of your entire lives. That's really what you're suggesting in 10 Secrets for a Successful Family. Adrian, give us the bottom line message from this book.
The bottom line message is that God gave the 10 Commandments so that the family could survive, so the nation would thrive. And then God says the University of Life has a professor, and he is the husband and the father in the home who is to teach these things to his sons and to his grandsons. And that's the basic message. And then to show how these things are so incredibly relevant, it's like the cornflakes ad. Taste them again for the first time.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We've not gone past the Ten Commandments. They're the most relevant thing in America today that I can think of.
And it is true. When you reread the scriptures, new things jump out at you every time. Adrian, let me turn a corner with you and go back to the board meeting that we had where we were together for an entire weekend. And we spent 6 hours that day, as you recall, talking about the subject, what is the role of this Christian ministry, but any Christian ministry, in a non-Christian or post-Christian world, how the world has changed in the last 20 years, and how that ought to change what we do here, what you do in your church, and what other people who are dedicated to the cause of Christ must do. And we spent 6 hours talking about it, and toward the end of that day, you made a presentation that moved all of us, and we wound up that day at 10 o'clock at night with this entire board of directors on our knees in prayer, asking the Lord what He would have us do and how we should face the challenge of a changing culture that's forgotten God and begun to believe in moral relativism and no longer accepts the fundamentals of the faith and the Scripture. And out of that came a campaign for righteousness, not just for the family as an institution, which is very important, and we'll always work on that, but to introduce people to Jesus Christ who don't know Him. Reflect on what we're trying to do in that regard.
Well, Jim, I don't have an adequate vocabulary to explain the importance of this campaign. And I know there God showed up, and there was weeping. We were on our knees before God. And I am totally convinced of one thing, that the only thing that can change, save America as we once knew it, is revival. And I believe with all of my heart that revival is possible. It's not our job to persuade God, but to permit God to bless us. He wants to bless us. And we need to just hold on and not let go, and we must disabuse ourselves of the idea that it's too late for America.
Those who are listening to us who have been depressed over the political scene or over the free fall, the moral free fall that's occurring in the culture, and they look around and they see nothing but evil. They see crime, drug abuse is going through the ceiling. You know, alcoholism on college campuses is rampant. They look around and see all this evil and all these examples of a culture in decline, and they're despairing, and they see no hope. You say there is hope.
I say there is hope. I say as long as there is God, there is hope. And if you study revival, God has sent revival in dark days before. And I think we need, as Americans, never to drop out of the political process. But politics cannot save us. There is no president that can bring revival, and there is no president that can stop it. There is a God in the glory. And we need to remember this, and we need to just keep on speaking up and teaching God's Word and not let go and not lose heart.
How can people help to bring about that revival?
Well, I think, again, and I don't want to be just on one note, but we've got, number one, to have a standard for righteousness. Some people wouldn't know revival if he came walking down the street with a sign around his neck. Because they don't know right from wrong. They don't know who God is, what God expects. And again, it's got to begin in the home. My church is no better than the families in my church. We've heard it takes a village. No, it takes a home to make a village. It's just, you know, God starts with the home. But I believe that it is time to fast and pray. Again, to get serious. The situation is desperate, but God's people are not. And when you get down to the bottom line of it, we're on the winning side. I mean, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And so we know that, and I appreciate what you say. We're going to get as many to go with us as we can. Yeah. I want America to endure as long as it will, but that's not our ultimate hope.
Yeah.
Politics is not our ultimate hope.
Well, those words from our guest, the late Dr. Adrian Rogers, on today's Family Talk broadcast are chillingly relevant, Ryan, especially when you consider they were spoken quite a number of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So may this broadcast and this book by Dr. Adrian Rogers be just one more tool in our hands to defend our own family.
And we'll hear more advice next time from Dr. Rogers. In the meantime, though, listeners can find his wonderful book, 10 Secrets for a Successful Family, at drjamesdobson.org.
And also there, you'll find over a dozen articles written by Dr. Dobson about the spiritual training of children, along with his classic parenting books like The New Strong-Willed Child and The New Dare to Discipline. Again, the starting point for all of these parenting helps is drjamesdobson.org, or ask about Dr. Dobson's books when you call us at 877-732-6825.
Luann, I like that there's The New Strong-Willed Child and New Dare to Discipline, because it means the story might not be about me this time around.
Nice try, Ryan, but I think they still are.
Well, if listeners feel like the Lord might be calling you to partner with Family Talk financially as we seek to help families in this increasingly hostile culture, we'd invite you to do so at drjamesdobson.org, via our Family Talk app, or by calling us. Our phone number is 877-732-6825.
Thanks so much for stopping by today, and be sure to return next time for one more day with Dr. Adrian Rogers right here on this Family Talk broadcast.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.